Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
Welcome in, one and all. It is All Pro Lines, the podcast. We're not getting it as much as we used to, but we enjoy it. We enjoy doing it, and I hope you enjoy listening to it. I am your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. I will be joined today by our longtime friend, big-time contributor, great joke writer, great comic, Brian Miller will be here. I just want to touch base with you guys. I want you to know I'm still alive. We still do this once in a while. We love football, and I've just been enjoying the season. I'm back from Greece, and schedule got a little wonky. Apologies for that. But All Pro Lines is running strong, and we're still around. So, quick report from Los Angeles. Things are weird, but getting a little bit back to normal. Got a couple of comedy friends, as it were, who've lost their homes. Most of the people I know did not have significant problems here in LA. The air quality is bad, but that's a small price to pay compared to some of the other folks paying around here. Most of the people I know are fine, and a couple of people really lost a lot of things, lost a lot of property, create a big mess, you know, are in a big mess, big world of hurt. So we're here to support those guys. And, as a community, I think we've done pretty well. There's a lot of talk about things that could be better and things that weren't handled well. And I don't think this is the right time to be discussing that. We'll get there and, we'll take a look at it all and we'll see where we are. But California broadly is awesome at this kind of thing, and the people of LA are pretty great. This place gets, you know, people make fun of LA a lot, and it's probably not where I would pick to live if I were picking, but there's some great things about it, and some of the most creative, interesting folks in the world live here and work on their stuff, and some wonderful things come out of LA for all the complaining about, man, some great films, some great television shows, some great product comes out of this crazy, weird place. So I'm proud to be a little part of it for a while. And here we are. So, okay, let's do a few housekeeping things and we'll dive into some football jokes and we'll get Brian Miller on. Keep it kind of tight today. I'm heading to Topeka and Wichita here next week, and I got a whole bunch of gigs coming up, a lot of self-produced shows, a lot of these weird little bar gigs. I'm really digging these, like, cool venues. Some of them are the back rooms of bars. Some of them are little theaters. Some of them are breweries. I had a great time in Bowling Green. We had a snowstorm. It hurt the ticket sales, but the crowd that came out was just awesome, and the venue is so cool. And Evansville, too. It didn't sell a zillion tickets there either, but the crowd that did come was really fun. I did like 100 minutes and it was just a pleasure. I'm loving being a comic, and I got some new stuff, and it's been fun being out there. So I'm looking forward to this little run coming up. I'm doing a little run Super Bowl week. I'm doing Youngstown, Parkersburg, and a casino down in Southern West Virginia as well. I'm doing Battle Creek, Grayling, Hillsdale, and Bay City in Michigan. I'm doing Minneapolis, heading back to Acme. Very proud to be a part of that place. I'm doing Waterloo, Eau Claire, North Vernon, Winchester, Indianapolis. I'm doing the big fancy room at Helium in Indy this go around. So come check me out. Kostocki.com has all the details and ticket links. Underdog Fantasy and BetMGM. Those are the friends of this podcast and this brand. And we promote those guys, and they give us a little piece back of what happened. So if you're interested in those things, the links are in the social media platforms at All Pro Lines. Whatever the max bonus offer is of the day, you get it by clicking through our link, and we get a tiny little cut of what they make. So that's how we keep the lights on around here. And if you want to support the pod and the brand and the social media presence, all the jokes and stuff are free to you. So it's one easy way. If you're gonna do some gaming anyway, it's a great way to do it. And these are two of the best. I use Underdog Fantasy myself all the time. I love it. I love to just bet the over on receptions for a receiver in a playoff game or whatever. And BetMGM has more of the traditional, like, you know, the overs and unders and all the spread, all the possible regular gaming stuff. So check those guys out through our links. That would help us out a lot. Let's dive in. Let's do some jokes, and I'm sure my buddy Brian will be here shortly. I forget how to do all these things. Let's do a little
2 minute drill.
It was the first round of the playoffs this past weekend, or as the Jaguars call it, the Super Bowl, or as the Titans call it, time to go to Cabo. The games were close. Four of the five of them were not close at all. They were like Aaron Rodgers' family reunion. The Commanders won. As usual, a close call in Florida had a huge impact on what happened in Washington, D.C. Baker Mayfield should ask for a recount. Justin Herbert, this is astounding to me. Three interceptions all season, three picks in this game, four. Even Chernobyl scientists were like, sheesh, that's a meltdown. That is a meltdown. Herbert collapsed and it really mattered the most. Democrats have reached out to see if he's interested in running for office. Yeah, the Chargers did not look good. Thank goodness the Rams got it together. LA does not need any more dumpster fires. You know what I'm saying? All right. Josh Allen did the impossible. He made people intimidated by a guy named Josh. Josh is like a nice nerdy guy. The guy is like, he's your friend. He's in the friend zone. Josh gives you a hug when you're down. Josh, not particularly threatening as a name, but this Josh, terrifying. Oh, I can't wait for that Ravens-Bills game. That's the game. Okay. Bo Nix threw it for a touchdown pass. Bo Nix only has five letters in his whole name. That is cute. You need some O's? Buy a vowel from me, buddy. I got some letters to spare. RFK Stadium demolition to start this month. RFK Jr.'s demolition already underway. No word on when they're going to rebuild RFK Jr. The sound of the stadium collapsing will be more pleasant than his voice. They're not even going to use dynamite. They're just going to have RFK Jr. talk to it for a little while, and the stadium will just collapse on itself. The stadium and the man both peaked in the 90s. All right. They're out of ideas here in California, so they asked Derrick Henry to come to LA to stiff arm the fires. They don't know what else to do. All right. They named three teams to London. Jets, Browns, and Jaguars will be heading to England. I guess we're still pissed about the tea. The tax and the tea didn't sit well. You want football? How about the Jaguars? How about the Jets with or without Aaron Rodgers? That team's going to suck next year. By the way, the Browns, what's his name? Just saw this. Miles Garrett yesterday said he wants his career to end in Cleveland. Hey, it's totally doable. I can think of 40 quarterbacks who ended their career in Cleveland. You could definitely end your career in Cleveland. And the Colts are just named today. They're headed to be in the Berlin game. Appropriate, because that team has hit a wall. You know what I'm saying? The Berlin. Cowboys fired their head coach. You know, there's a coach at the University of North Carolina. Might have the skills to jump up into the big leagues. Maybe chat with him. Word is Jerry Jones has spoken with Deion Sanders about the coaching job, but the Cowboys can't hire Sanders. You know why? They're not ready for prime time. That's why. Patriots still just got a new coach. I love that they're struggling, and they're in the division with the Bills now. That team's going to be in the basement longer than that lady from Silence of the Lambs. Oh, it's going to be sweet to watch them flounder and suck for a decade. Send the lotion down to the Patriots. Deshaun Watson re-tore his Achilles when he stepped awkwardly on some karma. Hate to see tough things happen to a terrible human. At this point, Achilles has got to be fed up with the association. Dude, you're killing my brand. Metaphorically, Watson has an Achilles heel, but it's up higher. It's up a little bit higher. It's a little bit. All right. Ron Milford made it in. Hey, buddy. Ron's the only one who actually checks in with me to see when the podcast is happening. And that is kind, and I'm flattered by your interest, and I love you for it, buddy. Maureen! What's up, Maureen? Good to see you. Thoughts and prayers to everybody out here. Thanks, lady. And Brian Puckett, hoping for some Watson jokes. Oh, I just did a couple. Oh, good. I hope you got what you came for. Speaking of Brian, I see a Brian Miller logging in. He's got his nerdy glasses on. He's looking around to make sure he's on the thing with this. Are you ready, Brian? Give me a thumbs up. You got comedy in you? You know him. You love him. It's Brian Miller, everybody.
Hello. I just got back from the gym. That's why I look all rugged.
Good for you.
It's 0 degrees wind chill here, and I went up to the gym. That takes some doing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Where is the gym? You gotta get. It's a separate building. You drive to it.
It's about 2 miles down the road. It's. Right. I don't tell you what gym I go to, but it's French for the fitness.
It's not LA Fitness. It's La Fitness.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, yeah, of course. But I like to think of it as a French gym. Okay. I am the fitness.
I've been going to the gym. We have one in the complex, and I've been heading over there. I think I've worked out like 7 times in the last 9 days or something.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's the New Year's. Like, this will last about one more week. And then.
You know, it's funny. I started going back. I took a little break for a couple of weeks about 4.5 years ago, and that really stuck. But then about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I was like, I got to get back in this. I'm fat as hell. So I got to go back into this. And I look at myself with my shirt off, and it's like, I don't look like my dad. My dad looked like better than this his whole life.
Oh, right. That's funny.
My dad never looked like this.
My wake-up call is editing the videos of myself from the phone. I'm like, oh sure. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, just the whole time the shirt looks like that with the little.
Yeah, right. And I still have all these fitted shirts that I bought, like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. But, like, now the buttons are, like, doing different things that they're not supposed to do. And they're
fighting to stay alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I started going about in mid-November, and then the January 1st people rolled around, and I was like, look at these pussies. I've been here since 6 weeks. I've been going twice a week, 6 weeks. Johnny come latelys. I'll tell you what made a big difference was I used to go to a really fancy gym. Well, the fancy, same, it was also a lot of fitness, but I used to go to the one in Uptown, which is over, like, it's like near all these, like, really expensive condos where young single people live. And the people there were so good looking. I mean, it was one of the reasons to go. You just saw the most gorgeous women. Even the dudes, you're like, wow, I'll take a gander. I mean, actual, like, UFC fighters would train there, and, like, Vikings cheerleaders. I mean, professional dancers. And it was visually a treat. But, I mean, I was so far the ugliest guy at the gym. I mean, my miles. So then I started going to one equidistant from me in the suburbs, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. You know, now I'm like working out next to like an old Asian woman listening to a gambling podcast with no earbuds. You know, and we're close. We're keeping it tight. Her bones are getting softer. I'm catching up.
It's great.
I was looking around and I was like trying to be honest with myself, even my fat self. I'm looking around and I was like, I think I'm in the top half of most fuckable people at this
gym. Oh, at the gym. Yeah.
This right. gym.
At that gym.
Top half. You know what? 51 percentile is top half. I'm not saying it's way toward the top. I'm doing a scan. I'm like, that guy's good looking. There, those two gals are pretty. That dude's real in good shape. And I'm looking around. I think I would pick me over most of these people. So it's more motivation. Now I just want to get to like 75th percentile.
That's fascinating. So is it really just where we, it's not like golf where it's a competition with yourself. It's like how you fit into the universe.
I didn't think it was.
I think maybe it's landing for me. Like, I think I have the same thing where I look around, you know, I go to gigs and whatever, I'm out in the world and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably the top several best looking guys in this room, you know?
Yeah. It all depends on what room you're in. You know, it's like,
Right. I'm going to these little tiny awful bars in little towns.
Yeah. Like if they were casting for a show and they were casting for like, for like older dad and you showed up, you'd be like, yeah, I'm all right with these older dads. But if they showed up and they were casting just for comedian and you logged in, it'd be a bunch of 23-year-old guys. And you'd be like, right. Well, shit.
Right.
You know, yeah, all of a sudden. Right. So this at the suburban gym, at the very worst, I don't stick out. Like people would be like, oh, there's a guy working out, normal looking guy, doing normal workout guy things.
Yeah.
But at the other one, I mean, there was an element where like, should I even be allowed to look at these people? Like they should get to see each other almost naked, but I don't think I should get to see them. Like, I mean, and then they like, the dudes, you know, you had to wear a shirt. Like that's a policy at the gym. So the dudes would wear those shirts that are literally like spaghetti straps, like all the way down to the stomach. Yeah. I mean, they're basically just shirtless and they're just, I mean, massive, perfectly ripped, you know, and the girls, like I said, clearly professional dancers doing their professional dancer workouts. And I'm like heaving to bench like 75. I'm like, oh God. Look, here's what never happened at the old gym, which is now at the new gym. Sometimes I go and I sit down to do my like butterfly curls or something, you know, I sit down and I go, you know what? I'm up the weight on this bad boy. I think I need a little more poundage before I start my, at the other one, it was like, I'd reach all the way to the bottom to like 235 or whatever. And I'd put it back up to 75. That should be the sign that you're at the wrong gym, is if you have to dial too often, if you have to dial back by more than 30 pounds or forward 30 pounds, you're at the wrong place.
Right. That's funny.
You should graduate then to the next.
That's a funny idea of just picking the right level of characters at your gym. It's really funny.
So I'm like, there's still some attractive people there. You still get you still got a reason to go.
I've had that with my building too. I've been thinking about, because look, last time I was kind of single and kind of, you know, looking around the world, I've lived in a very sexy building in like Manhattan.
Didn't you meet your ex-wife in your building?
In my building. Yes. Yeah. Sexy, interesting character right there in the building.
That's, I remember you saying, there's this really hot girl who lives in my building.
Exactly. My point. Right. This building, not so much.
Yeah.
This building is more like your current gym, where it's like, occasionally you notice somebody a little bit, but not much.
It's a little uncomfortable to be the ugliest person in a room.
Yeah.
Or in the bottom 10%. Like, I feel it's made me sympathize with the uggos more, because I wouldn't have thought I cared. I don't think about these things when I walk around. You know?
Most of the time,
I feel like I'm like in my mind, I'm just like a movie camera. I'm not thinking about me. You don't think about the movie camera when you watch a movie. You're watching the movie. I'm just taking in the movie.
Right.
Trying not to run into anybody or get in anybody's way. You know?
Right.
But I'd be at that gym and I'd look around and be like, all these people are really, really good looking. Like, clearly, if you looked around, you saw me, you'd be like, he shouldn't, like, is he perving? Is he, like, just here to beat off in the locker room? Like, what's going on?
I always think of that Jake Johansson bit about going on auditions in L.A. Did you ever see that?
I'm sure I have.
I'll try to do it justice. I won't nail it, but just to give you the premise, it's like he would go on two different kinds of auditions because he's could be good looking depending on the situation.
Sure. He's like a handsome, eccentric looking guy.
Right. So he would, sort of caught between two worlds. So they would send him to like the character kind of roles, and he would easily be the most handsome guy there. Or they would send him to like the handsome guy roles, and he was far and away the ugliest guy there.
That's so, really interesting.
So he would describe like walking into the room and seeing all these like square jaw underwear model guys. And he was like, "Hey guys, thanks for taking a break from fucking to come down to the audition."
Yeah, because like he could have been Kramer on Seinfeld, right? I can picture Johansson as Kramer.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah.
But then like honestly, he's better looking than Michael Richards.
Right. Yeah, right.
He would have been a different spin on Kramer, you know?
And somehow the acting universe never embraced him for whatever reason. You know, he never really succeeded in that world.
Being a tweener is the worst thing you can be. Right. Really. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but because it would just be too mean. But there's a couple of times I know that I'm like, you're kind of funny, but you're so ugly and you're steering so hard into your ugliness that it's really made you marketable because you're super memorable. And you can do that when you're a comic because it's like, hey, isn't it hilarious that I'm the ugliest person you've ever seen in your life? You know, it is harder to do as like an actor or you know what I mean? I mean, I guess there's a few of those, but usually you're like fat corpse that Brad Pitt investigates in Seven Part Two or something.
Right, right.
But there's a couple of guys that I'm like, you're steering into it. You realize I'm ugly and I'm going to ugly it up. It's better to be really ugly and memorable than it is to look honestly like me.
Yeah, at least professionally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trading my hands with anybody else's cards. I don't think I'm okay. I'll stay.
A manager once told me years ago that even the ugly people in Hollywood are kind of good looking, you know, like in their own way, like they're characters, but they're still like, if you like sat and had dinner with them, they would be notably, you know, something. They feel like something.
I think they're more symmetrical than you think. And they're also the charisma. Like you just can't get hired with charisma.
That's the thing. They're likable. There's a charm. There's a way they move and talk and speak. They're engaging people. Right.
Yeah. Whereas in the Midwest, it's like, everyone's living between like 4.5 and 6.5. We're all fine. It makes the dating pool much more probable. Cause even the hot girl still kind of looks like you, you know, it's not that far off. I know there's very few people. Like, if I think of my high school class, there was like two girls who were like, "Whoa, you might be too pretty for this school," you know. But then there was like three dozen of like, "My lord, you're a lovely person." All our parents play football together. Like, this is cool.
Well, that's interesting to me. Like, it's fascinating to me the value of female beauty in the universe. You know, like Chris Rock talked about this a little bit, but like I think about Gisele Bündchen makes more money than Tom Brady. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, there's only one Tom Brady. I mean, every building has a Gisele Bündchen in it somewhere. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
I agree. Or maybe not every building, but every city. I mean, there's a lot of cities.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's from Brazil. Like, there's got to be other, I think. But, like, there's got a Brazilian. Brazil is, like, all it is. Like, they make supermodels.
Of course, there's a lot more to what she does than just being pretty. But I just, you know, I'm exaggerating the point, you know, the situation to make the point. But it is surprising to me that you could build that much of a brand on not really personality. It's really, it's fascinating. She's great in still photos. What an interesting
like Sydney Sweeney
thing to be.
Right. But some of Sydney Sweeney's appeal is that, like, I don't know, she's a good actress. Like, when she seems cool. Like, I'd like to hang out with that person, you know?
Right.
You know, you can't, when you're on a poster board, billboard, it's a photo, you know? Although I think the pendulum is, not pendulum is moving so much, I think it's evening out. I think you see more like Chalamet, like it used to would have been back like when in the 80s, but I think this is a thing that younger people don't understand. Why would they? Was like, there were like, it was more defined because we had a monoculture and there were things that like, you just weren't allowed to like. Like if you were an 8-year-old boy in 1989, you couldn't say like, I kind of enjoy the New Kids on the Block. Like, you would get drummed out of your high school dude circle. There was certain, you know, I mean, it was very codified, very gender, you know, rigid, you know, stuff like that. But also, like, who cares if you like New Kids on the Block? But you couldn't. Some things you couldn't like. And, like, Timmy Chalamet would be a good example of somebody who's like, oh, Chalamet, you know, like, it was kind of an anti-Leo vibe for a while among the young boys. Whereas now it's like there's no delineation. It's just like everybody can like everything. It's probably much better.
Yeah.
It is much better.
I keep referencing comics bits. Goldman had a thing about this, about, you know, the the next generation is so much kinder and more reasonable and soft mm-hmm. around the edges and open-minded. They're all of those things, you know.
They're not as fun though. I'll tell you, they're not as fun.
Right. I like some edge. They don't drink much. It's weird. No,
I like the edge. I like the youths who the other youths think are a little bit dickish. I'm like, ah, that's my flavor right there. He's nicer than my friends, but meaner than the other kids. This is good.
This is the guy.
You know what it's like though? I think speaking of, well, it makes me think of like sports and money though. You're right that like I do think the standard is shifting back, and now your Paul Mescals or your your Chalamets are starting to become like more like in ads, and they get to be more like overtly like, you know, not just like butch or tough, but like, look at me, I'm kind of a pretty boy, you know. I bet you that you're right, they don't make nearly the money that Giselle does. It's kind of like the WNBA becoming pretty popular, but the salary disparity still being like wildly different.
Oh yeah, right. Well, you still got to prove that you are an avalanche of cash, you know, for the industry.
I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it is like right. For a long time, people make the argument of like, well, what, the WNBA player should make as much as the men. And you're like, well, I mean, if a movie makes $1 million and another movie makes $100 million, the person in the $100 million movie makes more money. It's not, I mean, I'm not saying there's not a salary disparity, gender gap, and always has been.
Right.
But come on now. But yeah, you know, right. The WNBA is starting to be like, it's just like on TV and people are like, it's like very casual. It'd be on in the background of a bar, you know, and people are watching.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So at some point it'll come back.
Yeah. The money will follow. The money, it gets yeah. there.
But there will never be, there will never be a women's football league. I mean, I know they've done like, you know, I know they've done like,
never say never, man. You know, sometimes these,
I don't think, here's why, maybe flag, but I don't think, I think with all the head injury stuff, first off, credit to women for being smart enough to be like, maybe I shouldn't do that. But I really think, I don't think we're adding any more head-to-head contact sports. You know?
We're not going forward in that area.
No, I think we're like, nah, you got to get grandfathered into, you definitely get CTE from our sports, like hockey and football. And like, that's it. Hope you don't want more because, you know. UFC.
I'm just saying, you never know. Like if we sat here 5 years ago and said women will never sell out a basketball arena, you know.
See, that wouldn't have surprised me though. I was honestly surprised it took as long for the WNBA to catch on. I just don't think almost from a pseudo regulatory standpoint, we're gonna get head to head contact. Now, flag football, which also might become more popular one day with male athletes too. There's a world where you have like flag football that's almost more like Canadian football, where it's like a lot of speedsters and it's like a different type of game, you know, because if you're not doing tackle, all of a sudden the physical requirements become really different.
Oh, sure. Right.
So then all of a sudden it prioritizes different stuff, which would fundamentally change the game. So there's a world where flag football,
they're smaller, quicker guys,
kind of fun to watch in a different way. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine, to be honest, but maybe it is. And because it's like, it like plays differently. It's more like a combination of football, basketball.
It would be fascinating, I think, to have full on women's contact football, just because I've never seen it. It would be interesting to see what does that look like and who do you root for and what kinds of, in what ways is it different? Like in some ways, women's basketball and women's soccer are very interesting because they're different than the men's game.
You know, hockey too, which is a contact sport.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's talk football. I just keep getting fatter.
No, we're going to the gym now. We're all good now.
Yeah, I'm fingers crossed. By the spring, I'm a little tighter. Fingers crossed.
Hey, are you going to be in Minneapolis the first week of March?
I'm going to be there every now. I'll be there hanging out.
All right, cool.
So loosely, you need a feature.
Let's hang out. I'm tired of following you. You're hilarious.
No, I'll be there. I don't think I have anything that week. Or if I do, I have like one Saturday thing. You know.
Okay. Cool.
No, I was excited to see it on your calendar there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I got some other questions for you off air about that. Sure. I want to do some taping and some other stuff. I'll talk to you.
I was just working with him. I was just talking to our buddy, Bent Washburn, when he was headlining about his dry bar, and we kicked around some dry bar ideas.
Oh, cool.
He's so funny.
I love Bent.
Bent's like, I got some jokes. I don't think they're very interesting. Some of them are very interesting. You know, they're very fleshed out. Not a lot of ideas. And I'm watching, I'm like, where are the ones that aren't good ideas?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all good ideas.
Yeah. He's a great writer. He's one of those, I feel like there's like a little group of dudes that are it's constantly changing, but there's a group of dudes. I'm like, what does that guy got to do? You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There was a time Louis C.K. was in that group.
Sure.
And Mark Maron. And,
sure.
You know, there's a few that have really emerged that I was always a fan of. Like, what does this guy got to do? But now it's like Ted Alexandro and, you know, there's that group.
Like, I've always thought, and this is no dig on the guy, but why Nate Bargatze and not Ryan Hamilton or David Crowe?
Right. Right.
I think there's a world where David Crowe actually, with his physicality, would actually be a better arena comic. Than yes. a lot of other comics, because like you think of his ostrich bit or whatever. I mean, the guy's and the bowling ball thing where it's the mic stand. I mean, he's really physically kind of versatile for a guy who's kind of writer driven. And I'm like, man, that guy would crush a huge theater. And like, and I said, Bargatze's hilarious, but Ryan Hamilton is also hilarious. All three of those guys are squeaky clean. So you're right. Like, I don't know. I mean, they all deserve success.
Sure. Know? Yeah, but that's but, like, the thing. It's a,
I don't get like no one. Because I'm like, I don't do that. He's really good at that.
Yeah, but you know what? I went to one of his shows in Omaha, just like a fluke thing where I was going in the day before. I had a thing.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The radio guy had a ticket. He was supposed to go with his wife and she couldn't make it. And he asked me to go and we went. It was 16,000 people in an arena. The next night, the Eagles were playing there, like all the songs from your whole life. And yeah. The night we went, it was just Nate standing there in his tennis shoes talking for an hour. You know, like he was good. I like Nate. I know him a little bit. I root for him. But it was like, it just seems so weird that some of these guys get plucked from the pile and other guys don't. It's, and whatever, show business doesn't pretend to be fair. I'm not mad about show business.
No, it's just, I know exactly what you mean.
But when you think about the disparity, like, so Ted Alexandro is making $100 a show, and Nate Bargatze is making $3 million a show. Like, it's not close, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's no amount of money that you could be that would justify the gap, right?
Right.
It's not like... I mean, and not even that close. Like, if you showed me the three funniest headline sets at Acme that happened all year, right? None of those people, I mean, it's a big, just by the size of the club, none of those people are getting $100,000 a show. It's a 300-seat club. There's right. no way that you laugh all that much more
yeah.
at anything than you do a really great headline set at Acme on right. a good night, right? Right. Like, there's just no way. Because they right. have some of the best comics, and so you're like, I don't know, Mark Norman was there, or who knows who it would be. Oh, Kyle Kinane was really, I saw one, and Kinane was ripping it up. Like, you can't be that much funnier than I saw Kinane be a couple of months ago.
Right, of course.
You know?
Right.
And yeah, there's no gap. It's like, how much, you would have to laugh into like, you'd have to die of laughter to justify the ticket price disparity between an arena comic and anybody
at
a comedy seller.
It's funny, a million years ago, Caroline, my girlfriend at the time, Caroline got a show at a casino. This was an outlier. This is not what usually happened, but she made 30 grand to do a show at a casino. And they booked me to open for it, and I made 500. And it was, and I go, you can be funnier than me. I accept this, but you're not 60 times as funny. Yeah,
exactly.
And it was like a running gag. We would reference it. And I even told that story on stage several times. But the Bargatze gap is like 1,000 times that over again. Like, it's crazy how big the gap is.
Yeah. And like Amy Schumer had that gap for a little bit. Everybody right. has, the people who have it briefly. I know most people don't, you don't see people stick around as arena acts for more than a couple of years.
Usually. Yeah. Right.
I don't think, I mean, nobody, I can't think of anybody.
Well, Chris
Rock. He can still do arenas in New York, but he doesn't do arenas anymore. He does theaters. Amy Schumer doesn't do arenas anymore.
Yeah, but Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are doing arenas.
Chris Rock doesn't do arenas anymore.
I just saw him a couple years ago do an arena.
Oh, really? Mostly he's here. He does like the State Theater or whatever.
Okay. Well, maybe he's working on something. Then he goes back to the big ones. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It has nothing to do with you, the comedian. And it means for that to happen, you need the cultural attention. You need the cultural attention to be focused on you, and the cultural attention will always move its focus.
It always ebbs and flows. You'll
still have a legion of fans.
Yeah,
but that level of cultural attention, like, it'll never – they might come back to you 30 years from now. You might be Bruce Springsteen in 1981 and then Bruce Springsteen in 2004. But even Bruce Springsteen wasn't Bruce Springsteen from 81 to 2004.
Right. No, I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Bob Dylan. People forget in the 80s. People are like, oh, that all washed up Bob Dylan. And then he has like three decades more of legendary songwriting.
Right. But you're right. To sell out Madison Square Garden is a different level of like all of the planets align for you to be like the center of the media universe for a short time.
Yeah, this is sort of a Buddhist concept, but I would argue at that level, you're no longer that famous. You're just participating in that level of fame. That level of fame is a thing that exists and you are briefly getting to participate in it.
Right.
It will remain and you shall go.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of heavy. I like that.
Whereas if you're a guy who sells out 1500 seat theaters, Mark Norman, let's say, a good example, a good hardworking comic or, you know, whatever, or Moral. I like Moral a lot. But like, yeah, you could just be Sam Moral for a really long time. And like,
right.
You have fans and they like you.
Yeah, David Tell has been there forever.
You built it. It's your thing.
Right.
And you'll deserve it the whole time you have it. That's awesome. But at that level, it's like nobody deserves that. It just exists and you flutter through it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Beautifully said. You should be a writer or something. Jerry Oliver jumped in to say hi. What's up, Jerry? Good to see you, buddy. Let me play one of these little things we do and we'll shift gears and have a thing.
Talk football?
Well, they
our teams are summarily irrelevant.
Yeah, both of our teams are dead meat again. So. That one's a little long. That drops a little long, but it's good. Enjoyable. I give kudos to Derrick Henry.
Sure.
He's 29. And every year in fantasy and beyond, there's this sort of assumption like, oh, he's going to fall off a cliff. Is it this year? People kind of hesitate and they don't, you know. This year he had 1,921 yards rushing. 16 touchdowns. Oh, and another 193 receiving yards and two more touchdowns from that. And that's just during the season. He's already surpassed that in the playoffs. He's got over 100 touchdowns on the career. He never like leveraged his scenario to be a prick and like create a problem for the team. He always took probably a little less than maybe he could get away with, you know, like
some of that was the running back market just being unfair.
Right. Yes, of course. But also, like, even within the parameters of what that is, he never, like, Kirk Cousined it. You know what I mean? Like,
or Lev Bell did. I mean, we're talking running backs. Le'Veon Bell.
He never even sniffed the Lev Bell mistake.
Le'Veon Bell is the Colin Kaepernick of running backs. He took a principled stance that was probably accurate, and everyone agrees with him in retrospect, but he got called an asshole the whole time he was doing it.
But also, come on, that's not a fair comparison, because Kaepernick was a principled guy who picked maybe the wrong.
No, I'm being a little here. I think they were both right.
But Lev was a prick the whole time, and as soon as he went to another team, he fell off the cliff in production.
We're getting the most CTE, and we're scoring the most touchdowns, and we're getting paid the least on the offense. Like, what the hell? He's not wrong.
Right. But he was a little bit. But he
has again. He's not Spartacus. I just think one of his
arguments was he was bigger and better than a running back because he caught the ball so much. He was more of a weapon. He had that argument. And then, yes. And he also had the other aspect of, I'm just being a prick because I can be. And I hated him for that. And I'm so glad it failed. It cost him tens of millions of dollars. And I love that it failed.
He's got screwed money wise. They should rename Pittsburgh Knucklehead Academy. I just feel like all the knuckleheads in the league always wind up in.
Like, there's one there now. What that guy?
Oh, I know. Of course, there
And he went to Georgia. Get your shit together, Pickens. Stop being such a goof.
God, he's a weirdo.
He's so weird. They're going to cut him. It may not happen this year, but as soon as they figure out another way to live a full life without him, he's gone. He's too weird. He's
just like Antonio Brown.
He's a troublemaker and he's a weirdo.
Yeah, you're right. Derrick Henry and the eye test and all that. And you just, when you watch him, he looks like a guy who's running for 2,000 yards.
Yes. Yes. And if you ever just for fun, it's just because you need a little pick me up, watch Derrick Henry high school clips.
It must be fun to, in a weird way, to have played against him. Just to be like laughing, like, "Hey, kid, you want to see what I went up against?" You know, it's like in Gladiator when like the rhinoceros or something comes out, and you're like, "Oh,
yeah,
God!" Like, I thought he was just trying to do my size. It's like, I mean, he's so much bigger than them, but he's also clearly more like athletically gifted. I mean, he looks shockingly like he does now in terms of like the fluidity and the grace. You know, I mean, like, there's like an athletic intelligence, like a physical intelligence that's like really hard to convey. But I think is part of why we like athletics is like when you just see people with the ability to like awareness of their own body and space and bodies in motion. And he, in addition to being huge and fast, he's got that, you know, like it's just like you watch him and you're just like, there's nobody like that.
It's fascinating.
If Lamar wins MVP, it's going to in part be because Derrick Henry is a sneaky underrated MVP candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes
sense. Not that
makes
Lamar doesn't. Speaking of guys with like physical genius. Oh my God.
Man, I was wrong about him. I thought he was going to be Anthony Richardson, you know, like.
Oh, or RG3, I think at the time was the.
Yeah. But I expected that kind of thing where he's fantastic on the ground, but never gets it together as a real NFL quality passer. Man, so good.
He's just a guy that like, I don't care who they're playing. I like to watch a Ravens game just to watch Lamar Jackson do his thing. You know, watch Derrick Henry.
That's all you can ask as a fan, right? That there's something going on that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to see someone play great football. They might not be against a great football team. Although of course, this week to me almost is the Super Bowl. I can't think of a Super Bowl I would be more excited about than Ravens Bills.
I know, I agree. And whoever wins that, I'll be rooting for the rest of the run, you know?
Yeah.
Like, please smash the Chiefs after that.
Please. Whoever wins, I want it to be a Raven. Ideally, I'd like Bills-Lions. I know it's kind of a hacky Super Bowl to want, but also like...
No, of course that's what we want.
But Ravens-Lions would also be awesome.
Yes.
I don't want anyone but the Lions. Although, Commanders would be cool, but...
Their time's coming. I'm not worried about that.
People say that, and then things go weird. But I like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he's a rookie. No, I can't root for that yet.
It's fair enough. Fair enough. I don't think they will. I think. Yeah, I don't think the Commanders are gonna. I think the Rams sneaky have a chance to advance.
Man, they look good.
Is it Rams Eagles?
I got it right here because I knew I was gonna forget. Yes, it's Rams-Eagles, and then they play winner of Commanders-Lions.
I'm taking the Rams over the Eagles. I'll say it now. That Eagles offense looked awful. Green Bay was so bad, and their pass rush wasn't that great. I mean, I don't know. I thought the Philadelphia offense looked awful with a mediocre Green Bay defense and a banged-up Green Bay defense. So, like, that Rams defense looked fierce against the Vikings, which was the Vikings' failings. But
the representative of that side should definitely be the Lions. And then the other side, it could be any of the teams, really, except for the Texans. Texans have to play the Chiefs, and the winner of that plays the winner of Ravens-Bills.
And then you play probably the Eagles. Probably the Lions or the Rams. That's the two, I think.
Yeah. I'm good with that. I think you're right about the Rams are weirdly better than you think they're going to be.
Well, you know, they just lost. Go either way. What are they, 1-4? 1-3, 1-4. They had a really bad start to the season, and it got everyone stuck on the idea that because they were like borderline out, you know, and everyone just discounted them. But if you pretend that you start in the second half of the season and just watch the Rams and look at every, you're like, well, they're so dominant, you know, it's just that it was hard to shake that early impression.
Yeah. Yeah, when Stafford's on, man, they got great weapons and they're fun. Yeah, I agree. All right, give me some taps. You got some taps?
Oh, I got one, and it's for I say my boy. He's not my boy yet. He's my boy to be, JJ McCarthy. I think the meltdown, the Minnesota meltdown, as that should be called, was unfortunate, somewhat inevitable. I think it's easy as a Vikings fan to get super negative. But if you actually step all the way back and take a bird's eye view, this was the best case scenario, for the most part, version of this season. Because what they wanted was Sam Darnold to be a bridge quarterback, McCarthy to probably either never play all season or maybe play at the very end of the season if it wasn't going well, which they thought it probably wouldn't be, whatever. And right. So, and then McCarthy tears his meniscus in the first preseason game. And so we have no McCarthy. So if you, no one thought it was going to be this good. It was a great regular season. I think it revealed some unfortunate things about Kevin O'Connell. They're not all new. Doesn't adapt well. Not a great game manager a lot of times. Gets too rigid to his scheme. Gets too tricky. Every time we get to the 5-yard line or better inside, he's like, all right, let's run a long reverse. Let's run it 9 yards backwards first. It's like, you're on the 5-yard line. So there was that. But overall, honestly, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season, hey, you're going to win a bunch of games and go to the playoffs and lose, I'd be like, well, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, so that's way better than expected.
Obviously, right? From what we saw in some of the high points, it's easy to think like, oh, it should have been so much better. But what this does, you know, if Darnold would have won this game but looked okay, and then they lost the next game and he looked okay, it would have been a dilemma. It would have been a little bit more of a dilemma. But now it's like, you know what? Carry on with the plan. Do not franchise him. It is too expensive. See if you can sign Daniel Jones for $10 million. You can find a backup quarterback for $10 million. It's a pretty good backup money. 10 or 12 million, you have a good backup, which I think most teams would like to have anyway. And you start the JJ McCarthy project fresh. And through all this, while this was a pretty uncomfortable scenario, sort of similar to the reasons I like Jordan Love as an off the field guy, was, you know, there was all this talk about like, well, they should just trade JJ. I mean, the guy has not played an in-game snap yet. You know, has his knee injury randomly, totally unfair. Has to watch Jaden Daniels and Drake May and Bo Nix. Yeah, all these guys.
He's never do that.
He was picked around, like come up. Right. Maybe he's as good as Bo Nix and Drake May. We don't know, but he has to sit on the bench and watch it. And everyone's talking up. You know, Sam, rightfully so, and all this. And McCarthy, my buddy Tom is a Viking sports writer, and he interviews him on occasion. And he said that he's just like the most centered, cool dude, which is what he seems on the exterior. He's just been awesome. He's been openly rooting for Sam. I think he's done all the right things, and it didn't seem fakey. And I just like, good for you. You handled this part with grace, and the way it worked out, you're getting the keys to the car, one way or the other. I mean, if he'd have been a jerk, he'd be getting the keys to the car, but he'd be like, oh no. But he seems like a good teammate, and really centered, interesting guy from everything I've read, and. So good for JJ McCarthy. I think I'm sure he wanted the Vikings to do well. Honestly, I really don't think he was like, oh, I hope Darnold melts down.
Right. right.
But this worked out well for him.
Yeah. He tweeted something very interesting this week. He tweeted Amor Fati.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Do you know what that is?
Because he's a Buddhist. My buddy Tom wrote an article about that McCarthy is like a pretty serious into Eastern thought.
Oh my goodness. I want to do a little dive into this because I don't know anything about this. So to the listener here, it's a Latin phrase that means love of fate or love of one's fate. It's the mindset that you need to embrace both the good and bad moments in your life as part of the journey because they're opportunities to learn. What a fucking, I want my quarterback to think like that. That's great.
I know. No, but if you Google, if people want to learn more about it, Google zone coverage, JJ McCarthy. My buddy Tom Schreier, he's written a couple articles about him. But Tom is in the locker room interviewing the Vikings all the time. And he's been really impressed with JJ the whole time. And Tom knows he's been in the locker room for years doing sports training. Wow. And so Tom has nothing good to say. But there's an article that Tom wrote specifically about JJ's kind of moral, or not moral philosophy, but his kind of Eastern-ish philosophy and the way he approaches things that was really interesting. So when the Amor Fati thing came out, I was like, yep, that's exactly in line with who he seems to be.
Ah, that's so interesting. I just totally stumbled on that this morning.
No, we'll watch him. He'll get in the – we'll finally see him, and he'll just panic in the pocket all the time and throw horrible interceptions and take sacks.
Right, and, it's like, and then say terrible things at the press conference about the teammates. Right.
But it's a good sign. I mean, you know, that kind of centeredness, I think, you know. You look at Jaden Daniels, and you're just like, he's on the bench, and they're like, hey, we're down 3. Can you go back in with 2 minutes? And he's just like, Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look cocky. He's just like,
I know.
Oh, go do my job now.
I know. So, I know. He's so calm that it's like unnerving to be a part of. It's so what I want in my own life. Like I want to
get there
now. Right. It's really,
it's like, how are you that centered as a 23-year-old or something? I mean,
are you not aware of all the weight on your shoulders? Freak out a little kid. Right.
Yeah. But he doesn't seem like, it's not for like, said some guys, sometimes being a little bit stupid can be good for you because you're a little bit stupid. You're too dumb to appreciate all the way or whatever. You're too oblivious. But he seems like
it's the centered, it's the grown up version of
He's not that. You know, he's like, he knows he's not dumb.
And Burrow like, always had this too.
Burrow's a great example.
Freaky calm about everything and quiet confidence. It's just
and Mahomes. Like, you know, we forget about him, but Mahomes.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Right.
Yeah. No, it'd be nice. So hopefully JJ's that. I don't know, but I'm. It was a little, as much as I was annoyed about what I was annoyed about the Vikings game was the same way the Packers fans were annoyed about the Packers game. It was a hard game to watch. They just looked terrible. You know, it's like a. If it would have been a Bengals Dolphins game or something, I would have equally been bored because like it's not about no rooting interest. It's just like this is bad football. One of these teams is not doing anything.
Right. Most of the games this weekend were that way. I mean, we expanded the playoffs too much.
I think so.
There's too many teams in that aren't good. They're good, but they're not great.
Right. But then you get the thing where the Bengals record was like not quite as good, but obviously the Bengals would have been definitively more interesting in the playoffs than the Steelers.
Well,
there's no question. They would put up a better fight
for 10 games.
But they just kept dropping those one score games. They got what they deserve. No,
of course, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
But then just in terms of like, because you knew that Steelers game wasn't going to be very good. And then I went and did a gig, and I was doing part of it. And then as soon as it was over, I turned to the comics. I'm like, let's go to this bar next door. I'll watch the Steelers game. And I went and ordered a beer and looked up and I was like, nah, I can go home soon. I don't need to watch the rest of
this. All right, let's do this. I'll get one more bit of Vikings ramble out of you and then we'll do a quick quiz time. And
now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Vikings or Falcons Super Bowl winner?
Vikings.
Because of this Eastern monk-like quarterback that's coming
KOC
in?
I think Kwesi seems like a pretty good GM. If KOC can evolve a little bit, which I think he can, there's no reason, young guy, there's no reason to say he can't shake off some of these worst tendencies. I think he's a good culture builder. I think they did a lot with a lot of players this year that are obviously talented. They're good at picking guys who are better than you think, but it's not like they had this. I mean, obviously they have a couple of Justin Jefferson, my God, they have a couple of megastars. But for the most part, it's like Blake Cashman just playing off his ass, Byron Murphy playing really well. These guys that just don't. If you're not a Vikings fan, these aren't names that are popping up into your head. But when you're watching the game, you're like,
right,
Cashman's playing great, Van Ginkle's playing great. These guys that were again, they're not. You know, they're not Brock Purdy, but they're mid-range. What you thought of as mid-range guys playing way above that. So if you can get some, if they can do a little, now they've mortgaged themselves too far in the draft right now, but they can get over that. McCarthy's good. I don't know. I see it more. I don't know. We'll see. Penix didn't look bad or anything, but we'll see how Penix develops. But I don't know. I just don't have as much faith in the Falcons organization overall.
You're biased against left-handed quarterbacks, is what you're saying? You don't like it's black quarterbacks? It's weird to
watch.
You don't like
actually, you want to put a mirror up and like watch it in a mirror in the opposite direction so it looks normal? Like, all right, now I can watch this football.
It is weird to watch. I agree. I can't believe we think of it that much.
Pitchers, you're just like, oh, it's a lefty pitcher. But, well, because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it is really important because obviously for most quarterbacks, rolling out to your right is the way that you go. That's why the left guard is like, you know, is so important.
That's the blind side. Right.
Flips when you get a lefty quarterback because obviously he wants to roll out to the left. So it actually changes. It literally changes that, like, if you have – they're going to have to invest more in their right guard than their left guard if they think Penix is going to be their quarterback for the next 10 years because his blind side's got to be covered. So all of a sudden this – It, you know, you need the league's best right guard.
And literally the way you catch the ball, the ball literally spins the other way. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's got to be weird for the receivers who are like, right. Wait, what the hell? It's like, what, am I playing in Australia?
I think you made a good argument. The only pushback I'll give you is the Falcons have a much easier walk in the division for the next foreseeable future. You guys have a fucking murderer's row, potentially.
That's a good point.
Especially the Lions are not going away.
And the Bears might get good.
And the Bears might get good. And the Packers are good. And so, like, it's going to be a dogfight all the time.
That's true.
The division at the end for the Falcons is a little bit Buccaneers and then a whole bunch of nothing.
If you ask me who's going to appear in more playoff games in the next 5 years, I would say the Falcons. But in the iron sharpens iron way, the Vikings are going to have to be so good in their division to persevere that if they get into the playoffs, they're more likely to make the Super Bowl.
Again, beautiful words. I don't like, but I appreciate it. Okay.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
The Notre Dame Sports Information Director convinced future Washington Redskins quarterback and NFL MVP Joe Theismann to change the pronunciation of his own name to Theismann because he was in the Heisman race. Did he win said Heisman?
But the name thing is straight up true.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. His name
was Theismann until he was in college.
His name's Theismann. And then the
Heisman is a better name.
The media machine name. Like leaned on him because he was in the race for the Heisman. He goes, Heisman's your name, behind. You're running for the Heisman. Your name is Theismann.
And I'm going to say no.
All right. He lost. He finished second to Jim Plunkett. How about that?
That was a guess, though. I'm never good at, because I don't follow college ball at all. So I never know college stats, but I'd never heard the name thing before. That's really interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
I wonder if he regretted it in any way.
I would love to. I'm sure he's been asked about it a million times. I don't know the answer.
Changing your name. You know, I mean, it's still spelled the same legally.
But it is. But like, it is, you know, you spend your whole life as whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's different because for some, like, professional, I don't know. It just seems it rubs me the wrong
way.
But
sound better though. Sounds better.
I guess.
Oh my God! Look what happened to Theismann. You know? I think Theismann just died. You know, it wouldn't have had the same. The famous call wouldn't have had the same.
All right, the largest point spread in NFL history. What do you got?
Predicted
2013, yes.
I was going to ask if it was also in the gambling era, or it was Jimmy the Greek or whatever.
Week two of 2013, the gamers, what they said before 18-5. The game. What is it?
18-5. Spread?
26.5. Oh. The Broncos were favored over the Jaguars. And the Jags covered, losing 35-19.
I would have... So that would have been the Manning Broncos, I guess.
Oh man, I don't know. Without looking,
it would have had to be for the spread to be like that. It couldn't have been.
Tebow Broncos.
No, it wasn't the Tebow Broncos. You know, they had that backup guy that played for like a year, and everyone thought he was going to be good. And then
they had Cutler for a while. He was good.
Yeah, no, that had to be Manning. That had to be.
That's crazy.
God, 26.
I know that hurts your feelings. Like in an NFL game, I mean, that's like when Georgia plays, you know, the Smyrna School for the Blind or whatever.
Yeah. Like,
that's crazy spread in the pros.
I Jaguars make sense.
Yeah.
That part checks out.
That team, fucking, what are the, get it together. Jesus. They've sucked the whole time.
You wonder, like, how, if Trevor Lawrence played for Pittsburgh, would we just be singing Trevor Lawrence's praises all the time? You know, he was just in a semi-responsible institution.
Fair question. I mean, he had the worst situation with the first.
Oh, was it the, and, was it? Oh, what was the idiot from college?
Yeah, the Ohio State guy that came down and was kicked the kicker. Was a jackass.
Feeling up the feeling up the lady in the photos after the loss when he didn't play home with the team.
Right.
I mean, that was one of the like. I mean, truly.
Urban Meyer, yeah.
I mean, that was as bad of a coaching tenure in terms of hype to crash. I mean, it was like, holy smokes, that didn't work.
One of the jokes we wrote was, you know, the worst thing about when Urban Meyer gets shut out
Urban Meyer.
Is he Yes. When he tries to put his finger in the zero.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good one.
It's great to see you, buddy. It's good to talk. Yeah. We were going to do a short one, but you're compelling and interesting as usual. So where can the people find you, Brian?
They can find me at brianmillercomedy.com. My website, Brian with a Y. Funny Brian Miller on Instagram. Real Brian Miller on Twitter. Although, am I getting off Twitter? Maybe I am. I don't know. It's just a ghost town. It's like going to a shopping mall trying to meet girls or something when you were a kid, except for the mall's been closed. You know, you're like, I mean, the stores, you can still walk around in it, but nothing's really
open. It might close TikTok too. Weird. Things are changing out there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, we'll it's kind of spooky. But yeah, so yeah, I'm there. And then I'm doing some shows. I'll be around. I'm going to be doing this in a couple of weeks. That's probably my next club. Let me check the date on that.
That's Rochester, Minnesota, right? Goonies?
Yeah, Rochester, Minnesota. Yeah, but Goonies. Yeah, that is February 21st and 22nd. I've got some Valentine's gigs, little one-nighters here and there. But I'll be in New England. I'm doing a New England run with Eastmo. So if you're around New Hampshire, Rhode Island, or Vermont, three of them. I'm going to be at the Burling Comedy Club the last weekend of last of January, 1st of February with Eastmo, doing some shows.
All right, so, cool.
I've never been to New England.
You've never been to New England?
I have been to Boston, I guess, but I've never been like to any of the, or New York, but I've never been to like the, you know, all the various little New England-y states. So.
Gotcha. Oh, that'll be great, man. What a fun thing to travel around with that guy too. That's great.
Yeah, he's a real character. He's a lot of fun to hang out with. I mean, anyway, he's just such a good writer that he's always like, we want to write jokes. He's always got new stuff to work on. So which makes you be like, and I better write some new stuff so I don't look like an idiot when we go to write jokes.
No kidding. Good for him. Ah, that's great. And you can find out where I am at Kostocki.com. We'll see you down the road. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll check in with you guys again in this podcast format around the Super Bowl, either just before or just after. Ooh. And, we'll talk to you then. Go Bills. Go Ravens. Go anybody.
Go Lions. Go Ravens and or Bills.
I like the Chiefs too. I hate to say it, but I'm a fan.
It's enough. Enough.
I know.
Just tired of them. Just sit down for a little while.
Totally get it. I hear you. But if they win, I'll be rooting for them unless it's the Lions on the other side.
Yeah, okay. That sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough. Goodbye, everybody.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.